Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tree City Sports Podcast. I am your host, as usual, Andrew Baker, here with my co-host, as usual, Graham Moen.
It wasn't great.
The Browns laid an egg on Monday night.
Yeah, if I could summarize, I think my first three words summarize it pretty well. It wasn't great. I mean, the Browns really did, they pretty much just laid an egg. And I mean, we're going to get into some of this in the game, but I'm going to be honest, like, this game was pretty much over. After what? Second quarter?
I got out of the shower, and there was 13 minutes to go in the first quarter, and the Browns were down a touchdown, and the Niners had the ball in Browns territory, and the game was over at that point.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Browns had three good plays, and I missed those because I was showering, so I pretty much missed it. This was...
They had momentum for about 2 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it was 13 minutes, so yeah.
Yeah.
This was, quite frankly, one of the worst games I've seen the Browns play in recent memory, and that's saying something, considering all the losses we've seen. This was a really abomination of a football game. The offense was bad, the defense was bad, the coaching was bad. Pretty much we're back to the punter being great and everyone else sucking, which is a place I didn't think we'd be this year. But, yeah, I mean, offensively, Baker Mayfield didn't play well. He had some missed throws.
Fumbled.
I'm assuming he missed some reads in the secondary, but for the most part, I think the reason the offense was bad was because the offensive line just got absolutely annihilated.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, when that drive happened and the Browns had to come back and throw a play, literally the next play after that one got overturned, Baker threw a pick to Richard Sherman. And then
he had the receiver open and just underthrew it because he got hit while he threw it.
Yeah, he got hit and he overthrew it by a lot. And then, I mean, other than that, Baker, I mean, I understand, you know, the offensive line had a big role in the Monday night's debacle that happened. But at the same time, Baker was being careless with the ball again and was fumbling. He clearly has a fumbling issue that he needs to work on. And he's leading the league in interceptions now. He has 8. So, I mean, he threw – and another interception he threw was a bad one,
too. Is that good?
No. No, that means he's on pace to probably throw like 20-plus interceptions this year. And that's not great unless you're – I say Eli Manning was the king of that for a while. Now he's sitting on the bench. So the offensive line, I mean, Nick Bosa and DeForest Buckner, they just absolutely destroyed the offensive line, specifically Greg Robinson. I mean, the whole offensive line didn't play well, but Greg Robinson got annihilated.
D Ford didn't even play.
He barely played. He probably played a handful of snaps, but Nick Bosa, the rookie out of Ohio State, he was just dominating Greg Robinson. Every time he would go inside, Greg Robinson couldn't handle him. And it was just running right by him, sacking quarterback, hitting the quarterback. I mean, in the first half, he had a sack, a forced fumble, and 4 quarterback hits. And I think he also had a couple hurries as well. So he was just absolutely dominating the entire game. DeForest Buckner was getting in there in the middle and wreaking havoc as well. And then they were blitzing. And whenever they blitzed, Baker was just getting destroyed immediately. I mean, I'll be honest, I definitely underestimated the 49ers defense because they were missing some pieces on the defense and I thought that it would play a factor. But obviously that doesn't matter when maybe 3 or 4 minutes into the game, you're already facing 14-0 and the 49ers played the way they did, especially on offense running the ball. So, I mean, offensively for the Browns, I mean, there really wasn't anything that they did other than the first drive. I mean, OBJ didn't get involved again. He's had a bad stretch of the last 2 games.
I mean, definitely the 2 worst games back-to-back he's had in his career statistically.
Yeah, I think they even showed that up on ESPN saying that this is the worst stretch he's had in his career because, I mean, he's got 4 catches in the last 2 weeks. He usually has 4 catches by the end of the first half. And he's just not getting involved. But at the same time, if there's not enough time to protect, then how is he supposed to get open? I mean, it's some of the similar issues he had last year when he was with the Giants when he played and they were unable to protect Eli Manning. I mean, Eli Manning wasn't playing well, but neither is Baker Mayfield. So, and the only really shining light on the offense was Nick Chubb.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Chubb has been great and continues to be great. And like you said, he was good again. He had 16 carries for 87 yards. He broke a lot of tackles. And he's been the one thing that I would say this offense or this team in general has really been consistent at. And that's running the ball with Nick Chubb. And the Browns were so far behind so early that it really didn't end up mattering because the Browns needed a lot of points fast and they just didn't get them. And, you know, it's just, we came into the year thinking that if we knew anything about the Browns, it would be they'd have a really good passing attack because they have a good quarterback and so many good pass catchers. And David Njoku's still out and Rashard Higgins has not played. and he keeps practicing every week and saying he's going to play and then doesn't play. So I don't really know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Browns have needed him because there's just not enough receivers left. I mean, OBJ is there and Jarvis Landry is there, but when those are pretty much your only legitimate receiving options, it's a problem.
Especially without Njoku.
Yeah, and Callaway came back this week, which was supposed to be a boon to the offense, and this is kind of a convoluted question here, but why did he struggle? I don't know, but he was really bad. I mean, everyone saw the goal line drop that turned into a touchdown the other way.
Basically gifted the Niners 50 yards.
Yeah, and that should have been a touchdown for the Browns. And by the way, that was a poor throw by Baker Mayfield. And it was a poor attempt by Callaway. They both bear responsibility for the play. But either way, Callaway lined up incorrectly like several times, not just once or twice, like several times. He said after the game that basically he was playing in the slot for the first time this week after playing outside his whole career, including in practice this season up until this week. So it's really unclear as to whether Callaway is just a guy who has not grown up yet and isn't preparing yet, or whether the coaching staff put him in a situation where he wasn't comfortable and just hoped it worked. But
yeah, it's hard to tell if he's telling the truth or not.
Well, and even if he is telling the truth, it doesn't mean it's not partially his fault. But either way, like, Freddie Kitchens has not, and you know, the offense is just not consistent is the point. And the Ravens game, they look great, yes. I will also say the Ravens secondary was leaving players wide open that whole game.
Yeah.
But the Browns offense, we've seen it, you know, this whole year. There have been penalties. There have been people lining up incorrectly. There have been timeouts before plays. There have been, you know, Baker Mayfield's not playing well. He played great last week, and the offensive line did a great job protecting him. This week, the offensive line struggled, and he just completely lost it. I mean, he had nothing. He was just – it seemed like – as soon as the ball got snapped, he was running for his life. He was confused. He didn't know where to go with the ball. He was panicking. And it seems like this is a trend. You know, whenever he doesn't get good protection early in the game, he kind of just loses it.
He also shaved his beard, which
that's a
he
problem.
Should stop doing.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're going to do anything to fix Baker Mayfield, grow the beard back, or at least the mustache.
At least the Farva stash, yeah. For people who don't know, Farva is a funny character from Super Troopers, and if you look up pictures from when he had the mustache, they look exactly
like. There's a classic movie that we loved in middle school.
Love that movie. But specifically to talk about Callaway, I mean, I understand what he's talking about, but that point in the game when he had that drop, yes, Baker has some responsibility for that, absolutely. That would have been a 14-10 game instead of being 21-3. And then the San Francisco got the ball to start the second half and then made it 28-3. That was a huge, huge swing when it comes to the momentum of the game. The Browns were driving down the field. They had a chance to score a touchdown and go down into the half. Worst case, they probably would have been down 17-10, maybe 21-10. But that's a lot better staring at you in the face than 21-3 with San Francisco getting the ball, which again was another stupid idea by Freddie Kitchens. And when they win the toss, finally, he doesn't defer. He just decides he wants the ball, which again, I can't really defend that. I think you should always defer.
I mean, like, it's fine, but you have to score.
I think you should always defer because if you defer in the second half, in the halftime, you have a chance to make adjustments and you can have another set of scripted plays and you can make it easier for your offense. And coming out in the first half and then, or in the first quarter, not scoring and then letting the 49ers just run on you like crazy. You just put yourself in such a huge hole. But that Callaway play was definitely the straw that broke the camel's back.
The Callaway play reminded me of the Derrick Henry touchdown from week one, where the Browns hadn't played well, but they were starting to claw back, and then one play kind of just put the game out of reach or
absolutely
basically just stopped all the momentum, and they kind of just seemed like they didn't play well after that. Yeah, I don't, you know, and that interception is a play that Callaway has to make, and it's a throw that Baker has to make better. But also, the lining up offside in the wrong place, and it just...
I don't feel like he's grown up that much.
Well, look, when
and
you...
And he also showed up to camp out of shape.
That's the thing that gets me is, when you are drafted as a guy with character concerns, and you fall to the fourth round despite people saying you're a second-round talent, then you get suspended for four games, then you show up to camp out of shape after getting suspended, then you come back in your first game and drop a ball and don't know where to line up. At a certain point... The problem is here, the Browns don't have other options. That's the problem. And Njoku's out, like we said. Higgins is out, mysteriously. And I think if Higgins was playing, you would have seen limited packages for Callaway. And I think that could have put him in more situations for success. But also, you know, I don't think the Browns use a lot of two tight end personnel in this game.
Yeah.
And it seems like the Browns offense kind of goes as they use two tight end personnel. And I'm sure there was some reason they didn't. Something about the Niners defense that told them that they should do more three wide, or maybe they were just trying to use Callaway since he was back. But clearly the offensive line wasn't able to block on its own. And I think having tight ends in there to block would have helped a little bit. But it just seems, again, like the offense, they don't have the right game plan week to week. There's not organization. And quite frankly, the offense just hasn't lived up to expectations at all. The offense has been bad this year.
Bad.
So, that, and that's supposed to be the strength of the team.
Yeah.
And the strength of the head coach.
And the tight ends, for that point, they did have two tight ends on a lot of plays, and they were trying to block Nick Bosa with tight ends.
Yeah, that's another thing where you
why? You just why?
You know, you just can't block the opposing.
You had Pharaoh Brown and Demetrius Harris trying to guard Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
That is not going to go well. I mean, it didn't go well for Greg Robinson, but it's especially not going to go well for tight ends.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to say about the offense specifically?
No, I mean, the Browns defense played just as bad as the offense. So, I mean,
yeah, I don't look.
It was their first really bad game of the year.
I say we just skip the whole breakdown about the defense because, quite frankly, what happened was
they ran the ball.
The Niners just ran the ball at will, and the Browns defense didn't stop them. And
yeah,
Kyle Shanahan is one of the kind of premier run game coordinators in the league, the Niners head coach. We saw it with the Browns when Brian Hoyer was here. And he actually had to make a PowerPoint presentation to leave the Browns because the team insisted on starting Johnny Manziel, which is a whole other topic for a different day. But look, Kyle Shanahan has a run game. He is one of the best in the entire NFL at designing a run game. And the Browns were completely overmatched defensively in terms of attempting to defend the run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really blame an individual player or position group. I just think the entire defense, front to bottom, got destroyed. If anything, I would say probably the front seven is most to blame because a lot, the safeties were making a lot of tackles.
Yeah.
You never want to see your safeties with like 14 tackles combined.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, defensively, I mean, the Browns, when they had been stopping the run earlier this year, they were getting penetration early in the play. So that way they were able to, you know, contain him or in outs or get when he's going outside, you would have the containment. They were getting just absolutely roasted by this San Francisco 49ers offensive line that was missing Joe Staley, but they really just ran the ball and decided that they were going to go ahead and just and put their will on the Browns. And it started from the first play that the 49ers had the ball. It was an 80-plus yard touchdown run by Matt Breida, who is one of the best running backs in terms of just getting down the field and his elusiveness. He's one of the better running backs in the league at that. And then from then on, they just were running different motions and different stuff like that. And Steve Wilks just really didn't make adjustments because even in the second half, after once the game was clearly out of hand, they just kept running the ball for 8, 9, 10 yards every time they touched it.
Yeah, I think as much as most teams in the NFL are better when they're playing with a lead, I think this Browns team has been a completely different team when it has a lead versus when it doesn't. Because the offense, when they can primarily run the ball and keep the pressure off of the offensive line. Because I think the Browns' offensive line is a decent run-blocking line. They've just struggled in pass protection.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, the defense, when they're able to kind of pin their ears back and rush the passer, this defense is designed for. Vernon, Myles Garrett, good cornerbacks. This defense is designed to stop the pass. But unfortunately, when you play a team like the Niners, who are a premier running team, And by the way, the next two teams the Browns play are both excellent teams.
The Browns have played a lot of good running teams at the beginning of the season. It's kind of actually wild the way the schedule played out.
Yeah.
With the Titans, and then you had the, what was it? The
Ravens.
The Ravens, then you have
Rams.
The Rams, then you had the Chiefs, or the 49ers. Now you're going to have the Seahawks and the Patriots. Like,
yeah, I just think.
They're getting all the running teams, and like you're saying, for an offense, for a defense that's built to stop the pass.
Well, and Kyle Shanahan's offense is designed to make average offensive linemen look great. That's what it does. A lot of pulling, a lot of outside zone, stuff like that. But I think the Browns have an aggressive defensive line, and I think time and time again the Niners kind of played on that by letting guys get in the backfield and then running the opposite way, letting guys over-pursue. I know that Mack Wilson, the rookie linebacker, was just not prepared for this game at all. And yeah. I'm sure it's the first time he's seen a lot of these concepts that Kyle Shanahan ran.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not prepared for Kyle Shanahan's run game and the way he's going to, you know, get creative on offense and use his offensive line and use motion, this is what could happen. And quite frankly, you know, it sucks. And I think the Browns, as a run defense, have been pretty bad this year in general. And I think that's a pretty big problem. But it's just – see, what I want to say is I chalk this up to one game where the team wasn't prepared and the scheme wasn't there and they didn't play well. But unfortunately, that's been 3 of the 5 games this year for the Browns.
Yeah.
And
really 4 out of the 5, because I kind of just throw the Jets game out the window because we were supposed to win that game.
At a certain point, you know, if the coaching staff isn't preparing the team properly, and if Baker Mayfield's not making the right throws enough, and they can't get Odell Beckham Jr. open, you know, at a certain point, these things are not 1 week blips or trends. They're just who this team is. Mm-hmm. And the schedule has been tough-ish, and the next couple weeks it's going to be incredibly tough, which we can talk about in a few minutes here. But, you know, the team's not living up to expectations. And look, if the Browns win this week, again, just like the Ravens game, things look a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But the Browns are facing 2-5 in the face right now. And if the Browns are 2-5, it's going to be pretty ugly, you know, the fans and just the general attitude around the team. And, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. has been a good soldier so far, and Baker hasn't really said controversial stuff, and the team still seems to be together. But they're getting their asses whooped. And when you get your asses whooped enough times, things can fall apart.
Yep, we saw that plenty of times in the Hugh Jackson era when our team was getting whooped every single week for 2 seasons plus.
Well, that's the thing, though. Even in the Hugh Jackson era, the team still tried every down.
Yeah.
And they fought back and they kept games close.
So I'll at least give Hugh that.
This Browns game, this team is so odd to me because there's so much talent in certain parts of the team.
They're very soft.
But it's also very clear that certain parts of the roster, you know, offensive line, defensive line, etc., you know, they're just not – it's not the right mix of players right now. And the Browns are going to have an opportunity to win a lot of games in the second half of the year. And the Browns have enough talent. I think they're still going to be a good team down the stretch. But it might be too late is the problem.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Anything else you want to say about this game in particular? I'm very much okay with just letting it go.
Not really. I mean, this game ended the way started and ended very quickly. And like Andrew said, we can't chalk this up to just a one-off thing like the Titans game. It's becoming trends at this point. And the Browns really have to just – they have to get better and make adjustments and really be more consistent, which I've said plenty of times.
Yeah, that's – it is what it is at this point for the Browns. And they got to get stuff turned around pretty quick. Or like we said, they're going to be behind the eight ball in terms of being a winning team this season. And that was the expectation, was to be a winning team. And I think anything else will be considered a massive disappointment by the team and the people around the team.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back. And we are back. So instead of doing kind of a traditional preview for this week's opponent, we're just going to kind of break down a couple simple advanced metrics for the Browns this year. DVOA basically refers to, on any given play, how good is your team compared to what the average team would do? Basically, the Browns right now in the NFL are 26th in DVOA out of 32 teams.
That's good.
Before this week, we were 14th. So basically, the Browns played so poorly in 1 week that from 4 to 5 games, they went from 14th to 26th. But, like, I get it. Because after the first 2 weeks, the Browns had beat a good team, beat a bad team, lost to a couple good teams. This week, we played another good team and got destroyed. And so far, the Browns have pretty much shown, they're not really up to it when they play really good teams. And, you know, I'm not sure what to think of the Baltimore Ravens going forward because the Browns beat them pretty badly. But I would definitely say that Baltimore is below the caliber of the Rams and the Niners for sure.
Yeah.
The Browns are 29th in offensive DVOA.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty shocking number. I don't think this is OBJ or Jarvis Landry's fault or Nick Chubb's fault. I think those are the three players on the offense that have pretty much done their job.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is primarily a scheme thing, an offensive line thing, and Baker Mayfield's fault.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, they're playing, according to DVOA, they're playing 20% below what an average team would play. That's pretty bad.
That's big.
Like, that means they're playing about – so 20% better is pretty big difference. I mean – the Browns' offense has been dreadful. The only teams worse than them, and we were talking about it, are the Miami Dolphins, who might be the worst team in NFL history, literally. The Washington Redskins, who have literally no one to throw to, and their running backs, Adrian Peterson at age 34.
Have cycled quarterbacks and just fired their coach.
And the New York Jets, who are on a third-string quarterback, and Adam Gase is their head coach. So
those are the three teams worse than the Browns on offense. And I think that's what's shocking. And
those teams are going to be top five picks, too.
When you look at it defensively, the Browns are 15th. They're minus 0.6%, which basically means the Browns, despite this massive egg they just laid, have been an average defensive team.
Mm-hmm.
Special teams-wise, they're third best in the entire NFL. Jamie Gillen had another great week this week. He had a monster punt from his own end zone. It was like 55 yards in the air, 70 yards total. Just monster stuff out of Jamie Gillen. Yeah, but it's just so concerning to me because the defense has been what I thought it would be, about average. The special teams was a massive question mark coming into the season. They have been excellent. The offense was the one thing that we said, we are pretty damn sure they're going to have a great offense because they've got the quarterback, they've got the skill position talent, and they've got the head coach that made it all come together that last year. And it's just not there.
And they're right now as bad as teams that are going to be picking very high in the draft next year.
It doesn't get a lot easier right now. I mean, they have a home game this week, which, you know, that's nice, but it's
they've been terrible in both their home games.
I'll say this too. So they're playing Seattle, who is one of the best teams in the NFL so far, led by a great running game and a great quarterback in Russell Wilson, and they have a solid defense. I will say it is a West Coast team coming east for an early game. That gives me some hope. And with the way this Browns team has played, I would be surprised if the Browns win Sunday, but you can't play anything past them because of the way they've gone up and down and up and down.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns are going to have to get out to are going to have to at least play even with the Seahawks for a lot of this game, because if they get behind the Seahawks and the Seahawks can just sit back and run the ball and then do play action with Russell Wilson where he can just escape, we're just going to have the same thing happen to us that we did this past week where they're just going to dominate us at the line of scrimmage. And that Seattle team runs better than almost any team in the NFL when it comes to their running game. Chris Carson is definitely a really good running back. They have Rashard Penny back there as well, who is one of the better change of pace guys for them. He does a good job of breaking tackles and being shifty, but that team runs the ball a lot. Their offensive line loves running the ball, and Russell Wilson's great on play action and extending plays. So the Browns are going to have, the defense is going to have to be ready to chase. They're going to have to chase a lot of plays because Russell Wilson doesn't go down on first contact that often.
Well, and it's Pete Carroll and good coaching staff.
Yeah.
And so far this year, the Browns have mostly lost when they've faced good coaching staffs. So, you know,
they're facing all these teams coming pretty much this entire stretch that have continuity, and the teams that haven't had continuity or have been changing things recently, they beat up on. The Ravens changed their offensive scheme. They lost defensive players. The Jets changed up a bunch of things. The Titans, they had continuity. Same thing with the Rams. Same thing with the 49ers.
Yeah. And that again, to me shows that it's more of a coaching issue than anything else, because the Browns just aren't organized. But hey, at least we get the bye week after Seattle and then we can go play New England. Oh,
in New England, by the way.
So look, we said it again, the Browns have to survive this stretch of early games at as close to 500 as possible.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose to Seattle, they've got their bye week.
And they have to beat the Patriots.
And they go and have to play New England. And if they lose these next two games, they're 2-5. Do you expect the Browns to win or lose on Sunday against Seattle?
I think they would lose.
I think they would lose too. My hope is that the West Coast team coming east is a bigger deal than we remember it being, you know, because historically that does matter.
I would bet Seattle is favored by 4.5.
Yeah. Maybe 5. That, to me, almost seems like it's like respectful of the Browns if that's the case. I can look it up right now.
Well, if that's the case, I mean, for people who don't know, on a team,
it's Seattle by 1.5.
That is, if you're a betting person, yeah, I would take Seattle because.
So that's saying neutral field, it's roughly like 4.5, 5, maybe 5.5 when you account the West Coast coming east
thing. Yeah, if you were playing in Seattle, then that means that by those standards, you're saying Seattle would be a 5, 5.5 point favorite.
And and so far Seattle's been really good and the Browns haven't been. But you know what? Again, the talent is there for the most part in the roster, and the Browns have had games like the Ravens game where they come out and look great.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see.
I mean, they have to keep pace with the Seahawks, like I said. I mean, the biggest thing is just consistency. I've just said that a bunch, but it's really so important.
They have to be organized. The players have to know what – and this sounds really ridiculous, but they have to not commit dumb penalties. The players have to know the plays. The receivers have to be schemed to where they're not all running in a giant pack.
Yeah.
They have to block on the offensive line. Like, this stuff isn't – and this is the part – this is the thing about the Browns is we thought coming into the year we'd be able to discuss more in-depth things about this team because it was going to be a good team. But where we're at right now with this Browns team is literally know the plays, don't have dumb penalties, and block the offensive line decently.
We're like, basically, you know, where we have been for a lot of the time we've done Browns coverage here in the Tree City Sports.
But the difference is, this team has the talent. It's just the organization has not been there.
And there was much higher expectations on this team than any team we've ever had to cover or really watched in our lifetime.
People are really enjoying the Browns not being good.
Oh, I know. I'd say every single NFL team seems to relish playing the Browns right now, and they have to be able to, they have to have some type of chip on their shoulder and stop getting bullied, because they're getting bullied by the big teams right now.
Well, we can also talk about the Richard Sherman handshake thing. Oh, wait, what's that? No one gives a shit?
No one cares. All right.
So the Cavs had looked pretty good in their first preseason game. Of course, it was against a team from Argentina. But
Darius Garland,
said,
baby.
Darius Garland, Kevin Porter Jr., I'm healthy Kevin Love. The Cavs are not going to be a playoff team. Yeah, I think it could be very fun watching the Cavs this year, even if they're not going to be good. We will have Cavs content soon. We're going to keep teasing it, and eventually it'll actually show up.
We're also going to do an NBA preview coverage like we do every year.
Absolutely.
Because this is big. This is going to be a fun season coming up in the NBA. There's going to be a lot of battling in the Western Conference. Not so much in the East, but still good teams. Will Ben Simmons make his three-point shot consistently? Stay tuned.
Stand with Hong Kong. I just said that to test whether Chinese authorities would just show up at my house and remove me. So if I'm not here by the next podcast, you know why.
Okay. Well, I guess maybe we'll both see you next week with the podcast, or maybe it'll be me and some other random hosts because Andrew's taken away.
Pick a family member, Graham.
How about your mother?
Hi, Mom. Hope you're listening. You're like one of my only listeners. No, I just made that up.
Thank you to everybody that does listen to the Tree City Sports Podcast. We will have a Red and Blue podcast coming up this coming up weekend. It's international break, so me and Owen will be breaking down the dark cloud that is hanging over Manchester with the teams both struggling. But keep in tune for that, and make sure you check out treecityrecords.com, which is part of the where Tree City Sports Podcast and our Tree City Sports Podcast Network is connected to. All the new music that's there. Check out our Twitter at @abaker_sports and at my Twitter at @gtmohan. We really appreciate all of the listens, and we appreciate the support.
Yes, I mean, look, this was a little more casual podcast this week, just because at a certain point with the Browns team, when they play this badly, there's just only so much you can do to break down exactly what happened. They got smacked in the mouth and they lost.
We'll be back with more different things, so just stick with us. And again, thank you so much.
More different things. Peace.